Pacific Dome, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And welcome. We're back live with you here this week. We did take a few days off last week, a little bit of vacation time. We may also take two, three days next week just to kind of get that taken care of. And other than that, it's another summer. Another summer is upon us. It's a beautiful thing. Join us at our website, philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archive material, a very, very lively comment section that you can be a part of if you are a subscriber. As a matter of fact, we had to shut the comment section down briefly this weekend because of some untoward and ill-considered activities. However, it's back up and running. And we also have, as I mentioned, you know, our live streaming video as well as other video archive material. So there's a lot of stuff at our website. We do welcome you and join us there with a backstage pass. Now, episode 3 of the Phil Hendry Show, the free Phil Hendry podcast, episode 3 is up at Phil Hendry Radio, but you can hit that link on the homepage of Phil Hendry Show, and that takes you right over to Phil Hendry Radio. Our number, 877-876-7445. It's been such a kind of a wild weekend, some screwy news, some strange news, some otherworldly news. Now, I have a young man on the line here who was talking to our Vice President of Syndication, David G. Hall, and your name is what, son?
This is R.C. Collins. I think I've...
Well, I've talked to you before.
Yes, sir. We've talked many times in the past, yeah.
Well, it's good to talk. Were you talking to David?
Well, I was talking to him and about your pre-show. Yes, sir.
And what were you talking to him about?
Well, I was concerned on the pre-show on your video cast. I was concerned with it.
What made you concerned?
Well, you were angry about some stuff. I guess you was talking about your website. And
yeah, I was. You're right. And I was very, I guess I was being extremely, what's the word? Animate?
Well, I mean, you were really mad, you know, and...
Yeah, I was, yeah.
And I called and they told me to talk to Mr. Hall, and I did.
And what did you talk to him about?
I told him that I felt just a little bit that I'm a subscriber on your website, and that you was mad, and he said to talk to you about it, and that you'd be happy to talk about what I wanted to talk to as a way of saying that you're sort of sorry, I guess. I'm not sure.
Okay, you got to give this to me again, because I'm not clear.
He said that I could talk to you about what concerned me, and you would say that you'd be happy to talk with me about what I wanted to talk about as a way of saying that you were sorry for, I guess, offending me or...
Okay, what?
I got David, come on.
Yeah, David?
Yeah, Phil, it's David. Listen, here's what the young man R.C., right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Phil, this is what the young man wanted to say. He was offended by your ranting and raving during the pre-show. And,
well, what, can I ask a question?
Hold on for just a minute.
Yeah, I was offended by some of the language. Yeah.
And well, wait a minute. Let me say something, okay?
I wanted to finish what I was saying.
Let me just say something. The pre-show is an uncensored pre-show for subscribers. You're a subscriber, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm a subscriber, but...
Okay, let me just... Phil, he was offended by a lot of the F this and MF and a lot of the language that you use. And
but it's an uncensored pre-show that you pay for.
I understand that, but he did not know that it was going to be quite that graphic. Now, this young man is a longtime listener, is that right?
Yes, sir. I've been listening to Mr. Hendry for probably about 3-4 years now.
And so what I told him was, and I thought this would be fun, is to listen to his idea. He wants to talk about something which I think perhaps you might not want to deal with. But as a way of, you know, repaying him and making it up to him.
Making what up to him? I don't understand.
The use of the language.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit offended by the language.
All right, now you are a member of Bradley Military Academy, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. You are an aspiring Army officer, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. Don't you think they use that kind of language in the military?
Yeah, but they don't. An officer and a gentleman.
I'll do it, Mr. Paul. To be an officer and a gentleman, you don't say a lot of those, you don't use that language in the Army. That's what being an officer and a gentleman is to conduct yourself in a way that is clean and is efficient and is not offensive, especially to women or to children and things like that.
To be, all right. Okay.
Yeah, you've never been in the military, right?
No, I have not.
All right, well, neither have I, but this young man wants to be an officer and a gentleman. And
well, that was the name of that movie. I don't know if people understand what that means.
Mr. Henry, it's a very real standard being an officer and a gentleman. It's to act like a gentleman. And I don't think that in your pre-show you showed me an example to be that.
And because I use this language.
Yeah, you were using. I tuned it in right as soon as the kid. I mean, as soon as the kid calling, it was pretty vulgar.
Well, I apologize. I do. I apologize if it offended you. I didn't know, and I assume that because it's a pre-show and it's a subscription service.
Yeah, and you think that people are aware of that? Okay, we understand it. So, RC, why don't you tell Phil?
Well, hold on. I'd like to apologize properly, if that's okay.
Well, you did, and we're coming up against the break.
What I wanted to do, Phil.
Whoa. Let me, please.
All right. Jeez. Some guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, is that right? Some guys?
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did. I simply want to say, I apologize, RC. I do. I recognize that you're underage. It's pretty strong language that we use in our uncensored pre-show. It is a subscription-only part of our broadcast. So I guess I assume that people who tune in already know the rather freewheeling manner of that part of the show. And I obviously missed the mark there.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, so can I...
Go ahead.
Mr. Henry, I want...
Did you hear my apology?
I'm sorry, Phil.
Did you guys hear my apology?
We were...
I'll do it. We were talking... I was talking to him about what he wanted to say to you. So
you didn't hear my apology?
No, but the audience heard it. And
it was for the kid. It was for this young man.
Yeah, all right. Did you hear it?
If you could do it again...
I'm not going to do it again. I apologized once, okay?
All right. What we want to talk about, Phil, or what he wants to talk about...
It just bothers me that you didn't listen to the apology, and so what's the point here, you know?
No, I know that you apologized, but probably... I mean, okay, yeah, I accept your apology. It is
heartfelt.
It's probably heartfelt.
No, it is heartfelt, not probably heartfelt. What do you want to do? What is it that I can do for you, okay? If you don't accept my apology...
No, I do accept the apology, but I wanted to talk about something that you said in your pre-show that you would never talk about, and it was about...
Go ahead.
Well, it's about the man in Miami that chewed the other man's face off, and the question that I had for you is simply this. Do you think that that kind of thing has been inspired by these, you know, Walking Dead or anything like that? And if not, why not? And I'll listen to the answer.
Okay, Phil?
Yeah, I got it.
That's all he wanted to do.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, David.
I'm gonna stay on the line here.
No, thank you very much, David. We got it.
Well, I wanted to stay on the...
All right, thanks. Okay, do I think that the guy that chewed that guy's face in Miami was inspired by Walking Dead?
I don't mean, Mr. Henry, that show should be taken off the air or nothing.
No, hold on for a minute. No, I don't. I believe it was inspired by a man who is mentally ill. The guy that did what he did, my understanding is, he could have been under the influence of a drug that had prompted some kind of psychosis. Doctors are still assessing. I think law enforcement is assessing, but they believe that this man had a psychotic episode in which, yes, he did attack that homeless man, and assaulted him viciously and unfortunately injured him seriously. No, I don't think it has anything to do with zombie movies. And
I'm not saying that there's really zombies. I'm just saying, do you think it was influenced, that they influenced it?
I can tell you what I know about mental illness, which isn't a lot, okay? This is just what I've been told. If you're already psychotic, you take images, ideas, pictures, whatever's happening in the culture around you, and you filter that through your psychosis. So, for instance, back in the 19th century, they had nut bins all over the world filled with guys who thought they were Napoleon Bonaparte. Why? Because Napoleon Bonaparte was a big deal in the 19th century.
Yeah, there wasn't anybody running around thinking it was Bob Dylan or anything.
No, nobody was running around thinking they were George Patton or Bob Dylan. Yeah, you're right. So the psychotics in the 19th century walked around thinking they were Napoleon. Psychotics in the 20th century, some of them think that they're, well, I mean, we're so far flung in this century, we think we're either Jesus Christ, or some guys think they're Sigmund Freud, or some cats think they're John Lennon, and they draw other ideas from the culture. The whole Satanism thing has prompted psychotic people to embrace, or at least in their sickness, some vision of Satan giving them direction. But to answer your question, no. The cause of that attack was the psychosis, not The Walking Dead on AMC.
Well, you got the plug-in, and I mean...
I didn't mean to get a plug-in. That's why I was just being kind of a smartass. Isn't it on AMC?
Yes, sir, it is. All right,
Hold on for a minute, because I do have to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking with this young man, R.C. Collins, about this. This is a really horrific attack in Miami, Florida. And it was a man attacking another man, both of them naked. And when the police finally came upon them, one of the guys was chewing the face off of the other guy. It is just beyond the pale. We'll talk a little bit more about that and other news here coming up on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And no, we don't want the ringtone. Let me get on the ground. We have boots on the ground here. That's what you guys say in the military, isn't it, R.C.?
Well, I mean, I'm not yet in the military, but someday I'm hoping to be. And, we'll boots on the ground.
Okay, your phone is a little in and out, okay?
What's that?
Your phone is a little weird.
What does he mean?
Your phone's kind of cutting in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking to some of the other members of my cadet class, which is our senior cadet class. We're listening to the Phil Hendry Show tonight, and we just want to say, that we really like your show.
Thank you very much. All right, so we were talking about my anger during the pre-show. Margaret Gray is going to join us here. She's a nationally syndicated columnist as well as one of our frequent contributors. And I think that tonight she's probably going to be singing us a song. Margaret, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Phil. And let me just say that this is a song. I can't take a lot of time, but this is a song that I've been wanting to sing for you for a long time. And I think it's reflective of what was going on in your pre-show.
She knows.
Hold on, Frank. Who are you? Well, my name is Margaret. Well, I'm R.C. Collins, and I was sort of talking on the show. I understand that, dear, but I am a freaking... Who is this kid? He is something, isn't he?
R.C., I know this lady, okay?
Yeah, but I was calling in. Wow.
Hey, kid, I'm Frank Gray.
I don't care.
Well, you better start to care, because he's my wife.
Oh, he is, huh? Hey, get a load of that. Is he going to be allowed to make fun of...
We just hold on for a minute, okay? Just everybody hold on. What do you want to do?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I'm going to sing you a song, if you'd like.
Okay, that's fine. Put R.C. on hold.
I don't like the old man telling me that...
All right. And Frank, are you there? Frank, are you there?
Yeah, where's the kid? Because I want...
Okay, he's on hold. So now it's just you and me, Margaret.
Well, fine. That's fine. You don't have to talk to me as if I... You don't have to talk to me, Phil, as if you just picked me up at a 7-Eleven and you need me to do the curtains and the blinds before your big party tonight, and then you'll drop me off at a bus stop.
I'm sorry to talk to you like, I guess what you're saying is, a day laborer.
Yes, day help. Yes, I'm not day help.
All right, you're not day help. I apologize. What did you want to sing?
It was a song that I wanted to sing, Phil, for the fact that you've had a very rough few days. And it's a prayer, really, Phil, more than anything else. It's a wish of peace. And it goes something like this. Benny Johnson, hit it.
Benny's not here. You're just... There's no piano.
Oh, I'd say there's no piano, Phil. I thought Benny was... Count it down, Frank, will you?
Holy God.
Count it down, Frank.
One, two, and one, one, two. Two, one, two.
When you're weary, feeling small, whoa, 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 whoa. When tears are in your eyes, I will try them all. I'm on your...
Okay, can you hold on for a minute?
Side what?
That, you know, is going to take forever singing that song.
Excuse me. Oh, wow. You know, you spit me off.
Hey, Phil.
I'm just telling her, Frank. It's going to take forever.
You hung up on me. What am I still doing on the...
Yeah, what are you doing here?
He's using my phone.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, look, Phil. Just let him sing the song he wants to sing. You know he's got a great voice.
She has got a great voice, yes. But she's got all of these little things she likes to do, and...
Give me the phone. They're not things I like to do. They are treatments. They are flourishes. Hello? Here.
They're flourishes, Phil. Let them do it. Just let them do it.
All right.
All right. Can we... Margaret, I'm coming up against the break.
All right. You're coming up against the break. So we go into the break, and we come out of the break, and we do the song.
God.
Well, she's starting to get masculine.
All right, all right.
That's why I called her she.
Right, I got you.
Count it down, Frank.
One, two, three, go, she.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will try them all. I'm on your side. Get rough, and the rest of can't be fun, like a bridge over... Frank, get me some water, will you, please?
Yes.
Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Oh, like a whore, I will lay me down.
Okay.
I'm not done yet. Excuse me.
I'm not
done yet, Phil.
Okay, you're not done yet, but I'm coming up against the break.
Well, you're always coming up against something, aren't you? I'll bet you are.
You're coming up against it, right?
Yeah, make sure you towel off. I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't...
Okay, that's it. I've had it with her, okay?
Yeah, but you're all got to sing Bridge on a Troubled Water.
I know what she's singing. That last crack from her and Frank and the he's my wife, I'm done with. Those guys are nuts.
Don't you think she's got a nice voice?
Yeah, she's got a nice voice if she just stick to the melody, but that whole stuff that she does, it's driving me nuts. When you're weary.
Now you sing it.
I don't want to sing it. I don't need to sing Bridge Over Troubled Water. She thinks I'm flipping my lid? Fine, let her call. If she... Is that her again?
Yeah, Miss Gray. Yeah, man, you know, Phil's really pissed off. Well, he's pissed off. I understand, but he's all pissed off. I don't want you to do nothing like that. Okay. Well, maybe after break, we're going to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
What'd she say?
Well, I was just practicing. That wasn't her. Well, you get the... What are you doing, man?
When she calls back, let me talk to her. Welcome to our show here tonight, folks. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Oh, baby. We'll be right back. It's been a wild weekend. The news. That guy chewing that cat's face off, man, that ain't even the half of it. I mean, just on face value alone. Oh, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Why don't you face the facts, Phil?
What time's face off? That's a facial.
How about a facial?
About face?
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Margaret Gray and Frank Gray. R.C. Collins with us from Alhambra, California. We were talking a little bit about my pre-show tonight and the fact that I was in a bad mood, and I apologize for anyone who was watching the pre-show, even though it's a subscription-only pre-show, so you cannot watch it unless you are a member of our Backstage Pass family, but I was vulgar.
Darling, you were a lot more than vulgar. You were absolutely livid, and you were calling out people, and you were angry.
All right, if you would not mind spilling all the beans.
No, I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a little bit more professional than that, than you give me credit for. And all I was trying to do was to sing you a song that I think has always been symbolic of the, I don't know, Frank, what is it?
Song.
The bridge on the water or something?
You don't even know what song you're singing?
Bridge over troubled water, yes. It's always been symbolic of love. You were talking about Foreigner just moments ago.
I was talking with Dan about Foreigner, yeah.
And you were talking about Lou Gramm.
I was talking about Lou Gramm.
Yes. Lou is absolutely one of my favorite singers of all time. He is wonderful. Now, you know that I worked with Buck Dharma and all the guys in the Black Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult.
No.
What's the Black Cult, then?
I don't know what Black Cult is.
Who's the black guy? Who's black?
Which group is the black...
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. That's the group I didn't work with.
And okay, fine. So you're with Blue Oyster Cult, and then Lou Gramm, and then what?
You know what? I'll just sing the song.
No, I'm just trying to get you to move along here.
Then I didn't work with Lou Gramm. I just know that he's a great singer, but when he was in Dallas for a concert one night that I happened to have been very blessed to be a witness of, poor Lou was singing the song, I've Been Waiting for a Girl Like You. Now, you know that song, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, it has, I've been waiting, I've been waiting. Now, you really have to hit that note. And you can't futz around and mess around and go out and drink and do all the things that a rock singer will do. All right? So,
But how was Lou's voice?
Well, I'm getting to that if you'll let me finish my story. My story. All right?
You know, Margaret, I got to tell you, that's the one thing that people get really...
What one thing?
When you go story.
Oh.
That, you know, when you go that story, it really bothers people, all right? I hear you.
All right, can I finish?
Go ahead.
So I was saying that on this particular night in Dallas, I had front row center because I was working at that time for Crawdaddy.
And you had, well, I shouldn't say you had front.
Shut up, Frank.
I didn't say crabs, I said Crawdaddy.
Bill, hold on for just a moment. I'll be right back.
So she hung up, or what's that?
Yeah, just on hold.
You know what? I am not here for her, man. I got a radio show to do, okay? So I can't wait for her to fix whatever it is that she... Is she back?
Yeah, I'm back, Phil. I had to deal with Frank. All right?
What'd you do to him?
Don't even worry about it.
Righto.
All right, so anyway, he was...
Well, it doesn't sound good.
Don't worry about it.
Hey.
What is going on?
Hold on. Will you shut up? So I saw Lou and...
Did Frank, you, what did you do to him?
No, he said, when I met you, Margaret, you had a case of the crawdaddy. And I went to hit him and he said, I didn't say crabs. And that's what really pissed me off, okay?
So you hit your husband?
No, I did not. I went to hit him.
Is that him?
Wouldn't you like to know? All right, so anyway, I saw Lou Graham, and he was singing that song. I've been waiting for a girl like you to flow into my life. And I would say to him, I said, you know, Lou, the problem that you have is that you're singing it in the traditional way. Why don't you try something different? And he said to me, okay, I'm game. What do you got? And I said, look, Lou, the song is, I've been waiting for, and as singers do, when singers get together, we always riff, you know. We'll stand around a piano and riff, you know.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, look, why do you sing it? I've been waiting for a girl like you to come into my, why don't you do this? And then I said, I had Bill Baffery count it. Bill was there that night. I said, Bill, count it down from baby. 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3. I've been waiting for a girl like you to come into my life. See? And my voice isn't what it was then, but do you get the idea? And so...
Well, I get the idea. I don't know if that's a good one, though.
Why is that not a good... Did you not hear what I said?
I heard what you said, that his voice cracked on that song. It's a tough note to hit. But I don't know that making him go through more vocal gymnastics is the answer.
How is that vocal gymnastics?
Well, you've got the guy going, I've been waiting. I can't do it. I'm not a singer like you. I've been waiting for a girl like you to come in too.
Yeah, boy, you sure aren't a singer. What you just did there, Phil, is you took a butcher knife. If my singing of that song was a baby, then...
Yeah, I know. If that was a baby, then I just gutted it and killed it and threw it in the street.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say you gutted it and turned it into a purse. So...
What?
What do you mean, what? How much more of that have I got to put up with? What?
Well, she's making a good point, though.
What good point was she making? First of all, I tell her, I know, you know, she always goes to that extreme. If my singing was an infant, you just killed it and threw it off a bridge or something.
Yeah, but she didn't say that. She said you gutted it and turned it into a purse.
Oh, is that what she said? See, that's how I blew it. If I would have waited and had her say that...
Well, I mean, all you had to do was just wait.
What is it with you guys, anyway? Are you getting dumber along with everybody else around here? I'm telling you, man, there's an epidemic of stupid that has come sweeping across this radio show, and I don't know what to do about it. It's come sweeping across the show. It's sweeping across my website. You guys got to be kidding me. If my singing was an infant, you gutted it and turned it into a purse. I'm supposed to wait for that, huh?
Yeah. You know the old saying, wait for it, wait for it.
Oh, for God's sake, bud.
I didn't... Ms. Gray, you can't...
Know that. Let's put me back on the air. Don't you tell me anything.
I know, but Mr. Henry's going to be upset.
You know, he is the phone screener.
I won't be kept off the air by that. Are you kidding? It's going to take a lot more than that thing to keep me off the air.
That's a little rude to Bud.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've been treated very rudely. Now, I'd like to finish.
And okay, but I don't need babies being turned into purses.
Great. Then don't gut my singing like one. So I said to Lou, don't, you know, do something different with the song. Well, he never listened to me, and, you know, the rest is history. He went on to, I guess he went on to make other albums, and he's really good. But still, I wish he would have listened to me. So what I'm saying is this, Phil. Listen to this song. Listen to the emphasis of the song.
Are we going to be able to finish it?
Maybe. 2, 3. Boy, you pissed me off, you know that?
Well, you're pissing me off.
I'm singing this for you. Hit it, Ben. Oh, there is no Ben. I'll just hit it myself. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And a 1, 2, 3. And a 1, 2, 3. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dread them all. See that part where they go, oh? That's what I wanted to hit. That's what I want to emphasize. But that means I will dry your eyes. Meaning that is a very important part of the way that I love you, Phil. And the way I want you to be happy.
I thank you for that, Margaret.
All I'm trying to say, I'm on your side. See, I'm on your side when times get rough, 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 rough. And the rest just can't be found, found. Frank, hit a C note, will you?
I can't play piano.
And friends to
can be found like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down, down, down.
Well, you get the idea, right? And then it goes into...
Okay, that's fine. I get the idea.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, you... Every time you tell me you're a professional singer...
I don't have a pianist. I'd say how it's really pronounced, but I am a little bit more of a lady than that, okay?
You mean a pianist?
Yes, I meant a pian... I mean, I don't have a piano player. I don't have a piano man. I don't have a guy that tinkles the... tickles the...
You don't have a guy that plays the piano. Okay.
No.
All right. Thank you, Margaret, very much for that rendition of Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Just remember what I told Lou, which is, you know, at one point, that was yesterday. Do, 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 do. Now my brain.
All right. I can't stand it any longer.
By the way, keep on alone. Don't hear you that long.
You guys wanted to hear it. Don't tell me about it. Bridge Over Troubled Water. Thank you very much, Margaret. The sentiment is very much appreciated here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. God. Well, I will tell you this much. The story out of Miami today that started all... Is that kid still on the line?
I get him. I think he is, but he's with his friends.
Well, the young man that called in, R.C. Collins, talking about that story out of Miami that started this entire falderall is as gruesome, and that's what the Miami, the responding Miami officers called it. I believe they were either Miami-Dade or they were City of Miami cops. And there is a very distinct difference. I don't know. I don't even know if there's a City of Miami left, but I do know that there are a lot of municipalities in the county of Dade, one of which is Miami. And then they all combine as in their sheriff's efforts as Miami-Dade. But the point is, they said it was one of the goriest crimes they'd ever seen. And I can well imagine what it was like to respond to something like that. And but to say that, you know, the epidemic of zombie movies, especially Walking Dead, you know, it just doesn't work that way. It works this way. There's sick people. There's healthy people. Sick people are going to use the world around them, especially if they're psychotic and they hallucinate. And that stuff's going to get filtered through their sickness. And it's going to come out either they're Napoleon Bonaparte or they're a cast member of Walking Dead. Although they don't know what a cast member is, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that those people are real zombies.
Well, they're not. Real zombies. So that was the problem, as far as I know, and so there it remains. Really messed up, man. And plus, the other thing that probably fed into that guy's psychosis was all of those horrific stories of people being mutilated by these rabid chimpanzees or chimpanzees, as Margaret calls them. All right, here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, we're going to come back. The founder of TMZ has passed on at the age of 58. The guy that started all of those celebrity websites, all of those, we got the audio here of Mel Gibson flipping out and throwing somebody out of his house. And we also have a story here of sunscreen. What's the top sunscreen for 2012 as we enter these summer months? All of that and more here as we enter this new week of the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch.
The when Phil Henry weary, Show. Feeling small.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, or online at philhenryshow.com. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have Doug Danger on, and Doug's going to be talking with us about the forthcoming film Lincoln, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. This will not be released, my understanding is, it will not be released until the late fall months of this year. But Doug has some thoughts on the film, and it's a great cast. Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Fields, I believe, is Mary Todd Lincoln. I know Tommy Lee Jones plays the great abolitionist Senator Thaddeus Stevens. Pretty impressive group, and certainly a very tough, sweeping story to put on the screen. But we'll talk to Doug about it at the top of the hour. 877-876-7445. We have scheduled this segment, I believe. It's Pastor William Rennick. I've got to get the pastor up on the line here. And Pastor Rennick, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil.
And how are things, Joyful Union Congregation?
They're very good, and we send our love, and, you know, Clara sends her love, and it's one day at a time. You know, we had a very great story here. We had a young lady who was found herself pregnant. The father's gone, you know. We were able to get this young woman a job. We've got some daycare for her baby, and she's moving ahead very, very well, and we're very grateful for that. And there's so many of these great stories to tell.
All right. This segment, Pastor Rennick, we are going to be talking about sunscreen. And the summer beach weather is in full swing now that Memorial Day weekend has come and gone. So that's traditionally the beginning of summer, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, I understand that you have me scheduled. I'm going to come on this segment here.
Yes, sir. But we're talking about sunscreen? I don't... Why, bud?
That's who we scheduled.
I'm not... What, you bring me on to talk about sunscreen. And what am I going to say about that?
Why did we bring him on?
Pastor Rennick?
Yes.
Black people can get sunburned, too.
Black people might be able to get sunburned, and that's fine. That's got nothing to do with me being... So now, what are we talking about? You bring me on as a joke?
No, I don't know, Pastor Rennick. All I know is I got a story here on sunscreen, and here you are, so...
Are you blaming me?
Yes, I'm blaming you. You're the guy that booked the guest.
I don't have nothing to say about sunscreen.
Well, what about Bob Marley?
What about Bob Marley?
Bob Marley died... that's true, Bob Marley died of melanoma.
I don't care if a brother died of melanoma. I ain't gonna die from melanoma. I've got a lot of different ways I'm gonna die. There's a lot of different ways that Pastor William Rennick is going to meet his maker. I may find my way to heaven at the end of a, who knows, the end of a gun. I may find my way to heaven in an automobile accident. I might find my way to heaven in disease, a cancer, a heart attack. I may find my way to heaven a million different ways. But I am not going to find my way to heaven getting skin cancer on account of a sideburn. You bring me on this show.
All right. You can calm down.
No, you don't tell me to calm down. Bring me on this show to talk about sunscreen.
Listen.
See, this is my wife. You talk.
Now, this is Clara.
Yeah, Clara. I apologize.
It's all right. He is very upset because he had heard Margaret. She is singing Bridge Over Troubled Water. He wanted also to talk about this young girl that we have helped. And he wanted to sing. What'd you want to do?
Play Give It to Me.
He wanted to play Give It to Me.
Okay, can I talk to him? Pastor Rennick, I had no idea, that's great work that you're doing at your church. I apologize. This is the second time I've had to apologize tonight.
What was the first time?
The first time was a young man who was upset with the language I was using during my pre-show.
Well, that's something else I want to talk to you about. I heard your pre-show. I listened to the four-letter words. I listened to the MF this and that. And you know something? I had no problem with it because what you were saying was coming from the heart.
Thank you, Pastor.
That's right. That's right. What you were saying was coming from the heart. And what you were saying to me was almost like a prayer, you know? So when I come on your program, I want to talk about a young lady, Keisha Williams. She is a 17-year-old girl. She had this baby that no father. We can't find a father. Don't know who the father is. Doesn't make any difference because our congregation had joined hands to give this young lady a work, to give some daycare for this baby. And this young lady is going to be able to save some money. She's going to have her own apartment. We're going to get her into school, and this is what people together can do. So when I come on your program, I wanted to tell you about that, and I didn't want to talk about sunscreen. And
I got a point here. You said you'd talk about sunscreen if you could talk about the girl.
I said I'd talk about sunscreen after I talked about the girl.
And well, how did you get booked on this show?
Yeah, that's right. You said you were.
Hold on. I'll talk. I'll tell the man. Well, you tell a man, I'll tell a man.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Don't hold on, brother. Let me say it. Did you say it? You're going to carve it up. You carve it beyond all recognition. You'll do to this what that man did that brother's face down there in Miami. You understand what I'm saying there, right?
Oh, God.
Well, I'm telling you. I've got something to say here, and I don't need that brother butchering it on beyond all recognition so that what I have to say is the face of a homeless man, and that brother there is gnawing on it. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
All right. I said I would come on and talk about sunscreen, if that's what he wanted me to talk about, if I could get in the work we're doing at the Joyful Union Congregation. Didn't I say that?
Well, you know...
Didn't I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, why wasn't I told this?
Because I...
Well, we didn't know he was going to jump right in about it. Why don't you guys book guests that make sense? Why would you book Pastor Renick for sunscreen? And don't tell me it's because Bob Marley died of
Bob Marley didn't die of sunscreen.
Bob Marley didn't die from sunscreen, but he died from skin cancer.
Yes, melanoma. Okay, well, that seemed to make sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense. There's better guests to get. You can get Dr. Sadler. There's a million guests with Dr. Tarner. How about a doctor?
Well, I don't know if there are real doctors in that. And besides, I think that Pastor Renick, being black, it had a different sort of...
Well, like a different color to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, brother. But let me tell you this.
Okay, all right, hold on.
No. I ain't holding on for nothing. Let me tell you something. You want me to talk about sunscreen? Here you go. Sunscreen is great. If I ever get to the beach, if I ever have 5 minutes of time to relax at the beach, if I ever get 2 minutes of time, 2 precious minutes of time to relax at the beach, I'll slap on some sunscreen. There, you happy? Now about this, are you out of time?
Yes, we are.
God! Black man never get a break. White man tell him to come on his radio show, wants to talk about a young lady helping out at the church. White man says, yeah, you go right ahead. I start to talk about it. What you got? Coming up against the break. But then a white man said to me, why don't you talk about sunscreen? And I got to sit here.
All right. Well, yeah, hang up on him, okay?
Why you hang up on me?
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger coming up next on the Phil Hendry Show.
White man tell me to come on.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, funny is her sister. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. We have our live streaming Phil TV in HD right now online, so you can watch the horror. the weirdness of this show as we perform it for you. And you can also download all kinds of archive material. Just get a backstage pass over there. Episode 3 of the free Phil Hendry podcast is also available. When you go to our website, just click on the free podcast link and just follow all the directions there on to the free podcast. Episode 3 of the free podcast, which, by the way, it's a beauty, man. It is it's a remote broadcast we did from Disneyland back in 1997 that to this day is just about the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Bud Dickman is in this thing, and man, you butchered that left, front, and center. But,
left, front, and center.
I mean left, right, and center. But I will tell you that it made for a memorable evening.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. Anyway, it's over there at philhendryshow.com. All right, our number 877-876-7445. Now, with us this hour will be Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We've also got Pastor William Renick is going to come back on because we do owe him, if you don't mind, bud, we owe him some time on the air.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think.
I don't care what you think. You bring the guy on to talk about sunscreen. We're going to bring him on to talk about Abraham Lincoln. Doug Danger joining us. Doug, how are you?
Well, I'm doing really good, and thank you for having me on this your program this evening.
Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. You're the entertainment writer there. I know that no one has seen the forthcoming film, Lincoln. What can you tell us, though, about the backstory?
Well, first of all, Phil, I looked into Steven Spielberg, you know, you're absolutely right, Phil. Steven Spielberg had read Doris Goodwin's book, which you had read, too. It's called Team of Rivals, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I looked at, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm going to look a little bit deeper into the motivation. And Spielberg decided to take this book, Team of Rivals, that was a bestseller, and he decided, well, let's just make this a book about the Lincoln presidency, because really, when you read that book, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I looked at that, and I could tell that, being a gay man and a gay journalist, I could tell this is not just a book about the cabinet members. This is a book about Lincoln.
Absolutely.
And so you saw that too.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you read the book. It's interesting to.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. But you did see that.
Yeah, because what I was saying is, it was like the story was about the cabinet members as a way of getting to the Lincoln story.
All right. So, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, so I spotted that. And I think I did turn you on to that book, if I'm not mistaken, didn't I?
I think you did, yeah.
All right, so, you know, I did spot it a little bit before you, but that's not my point. My point is that Spielberg spotted Team of Rivals as a great vehicle for the Lincoln story, and that's where he starts. Now, the other thing that Spielberg does that I think is brilliant, he starts with Lincoln. Who are you going to cast as Lincoln? Well, I'll tell you, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, and I can say this as a final, this is a statement of finality, Phil, and a lot of people get upset because they don't like know-it-alls, but I'm a gay man, and I am a gay journalist, and I look at these things with a far more critical eye. The greatest actor on the English-speaking screen and stage today is Daniel Day-Lewis.
And on the stage?
That's what I said. I don't stutter. The greatest actor on the English-speaking stage and screen today is Daniel Day-Lewis. So who else are you going to get to play Abraham Lincoln but the greatest actor on the stage and screen today? All right? So that's my point. That's my point.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
What if the greatest actor on the English-speaking stage and screen today was, I can't remember the guy's last name, but he played the little tiny actor in Tinker Tailor.
Are you talking about Toby Jones?
Yeah, what if he was the greatest one?
Then he plays Lincoln.
That's a very interesting point. Toby Jones is about 5'6". You know,
I don't care. What are you talking about, man? I don't care.
But hold on. Just hear me out. Toby Jones is about 5 foot. He's a small man. Isn't he a small man?
Yeah, he's a small man. So what?
Are you telling me that he could play Abraham Lincoln?
He'd knock it out of the park. If he was the greatest actor on the... In other words, Phil, you're slowing me up here, but I'll go, okay, I'll play. The greatest actor...
Well, I don't mean to slow you up.
Hold on. The greatest actor on the English... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you the greatest actor on the English-speaking stage right now is Daniel Day-Lewis, and I don't care what you've got to say about it or anybody else. That's the greatest actor on the English-speaking stage today, Daniel Day-Lewis. Now, if you're telling me, let's say it's Toby Jones, okay, I'll go with you on that. Toby Jones is 5'6" or 5'4", whatever he is. He doesn't look anything like Lincoln. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis at least has that sort of long face that you could sort of, you know, imagine Abraham Lincoln there. But if Toby Jones were the greatest actor in the English-speaking stage today, then he could play Abraham Lincoln, I have no doubt. That's what a great actor can do. And credibly.
All right. Just, you know, I don't see it, but...
Well, see, that's bothering me. Why don't you see it?
Well, it's just, you move on, man. I accept what you have to say.
No, you don't. Why don't you see it?
I don't see a guy that's 5'4" who looks like Toby Jones, who's a terrific actor. There's no question about it.
You know his pedigree, right?
Yeah, he's the son of Freddie Jones. He comes from a great family. There's no question. All right? There's no question.
Freddie Jones is your man. He's the main man. He's that guy you like in Elephant Man.
I know. Freddie Jones is great. But the fact is that Toby Jones doesn't look a damn thing like Abraham, not even close to looking like Abraham Lincoln, but you think he could pull it off.
Yes. How many times do you want me to... Yes, he'd pull it. If you're a great actor, if you are the greatest actor on the English-speaking stage, and you're Toby Jones, and you're 5'3" or 4'1", I don't care if you were that guy that played... I'm stretching, but you got to understand, Phil, I mean this. If it was Mini-Me, if the dude that played Mini-Me, who's the guy that played Mini-Me?
I don't know.
Well, whoever the guy was that played Mini-Me, if he was the greatest actor on the English-speaking stage, he could play Abraham Lincoln. And
no, he couldn't. How could he play Abraham Lincoln?
Because he's a great actor. God! I mean, I'm sorry, Phil, I don't mean to yell, but you've got to understand, great actors make you see what they want you to see. And if Toby Jones is the greatest actor in the history of the English-speaking stage, and he wants you to see him as Abraham Lincoln, then by God, you will see Abraham Lincoln or know the reason why. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And you're sitting here arguing with me about this. Unreal. I mean, no kidding, man.
Well, I'm sorry, okay? I just...
Can't you think of any guy... What about Anthony Hopkins? Does he look like Nixon?
All right, you got a point there. Anthony Hopkins looks nothing like Nixon, but I did think he did a great job.
Yeah, you told me you thought he did a great job.
I did. And he doesn't look a thing like Nixon, and after a while it didn't make any difference because the essence of Nixon was there, and that's what he did. All right, let's can we move on?
Yeah, I mean, the movie Abraham Lincoln, Phil, is going to be an interesting film. As you mentioned earlier, they've got Tommy Lee Jones as a member of the cast. They've got Sally Fields as a member of the cast. They have just a number of people that I think are going to really blow you away. I'm just looking up now because I'm filing my story tomorrow on this movie. Look at this right here. Here you go. Daniel Day-Lewis, Jackie Earle Haley plays Alexander Stevens. He's tremendous. They got Gloria Rubin. They got Adam Driver. Jared Harris is going to play Ulysses S. Grant. How about that?
Jared Harris, he was in, he's been a lot of stuff, man, but I remember him as Andy Warhol playing a real guy.
Yeah, he played Andy Warhol. I shot Andy Warhol. You got James Spader. You got John Hawkes, David Strahan, who plays William Seward. I mean, you got some pretty damn good actors in this thing, so I think this is going to knock it right straight out of the park. There's no question in my mind this is going to kick ass, and I think that, but I'll tell you this much. If Steven Spielberg does to this movie what he did with Amistad or some of that other crap that he made, this is going to be a wreck. This is going to be a ship out on the high seas in flames, and you're just going to see great actors diving for the water. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be great. Unless he pulls an Amistad out of his rear end, and then you're going to see an entire film that's just from beginning to end carnage as you watch one career after the next get gutted and thrown on the fire. What's so funny?
What? That doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah, I just got done telling you, man. I'm a gay man and a gay...
But it doesn't tell me what the movie is... You're telling me... All right, if you haven't seen it...
How can I tell you what the movie's going to be if I haven't seen it? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I'm not the great Karnak. I will tell you this. I mean, if anybody could tell you whether a movie's good or not, having never seen it, I'm the guy. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a great film.
Unless he pulls an Amistad.
Yeah.
In which case, it'll be one career after the next getting thrown on the fire.
Exactly. And I'm sorry I can't be more specific.
All right, we're going to come back here more with... I understand what you're saying. It's difficult to be more specific. I will tell you, with that cast and that director and the fact that he has done Saving Private Ryan and the fact that he did do, Schindler's List, this movie's got a great chance of being a terrific film.
There's no question about it. I think Saving Private Ryan was a little bit overrated. I think that a lot of stuff that happened in that movie, I don't... You know,
What? You're not going to badmouth that film.
I didn't think it was all that good. Schindler's List, that was pretty good. I'm talking more, I think where Steven Spielberg really shines is in films like Cocoon and movies like that. I think E.T.
What is he going to bring to this movie that he brought to E.T.?
I think he's going to bring E.T. and Abraham Lincoln are in a similar vein in that they represent to the average person a sort of mythic, magical totem. All right, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And they represent a kind of a totem of hope, a totem of promise, a totem of what can be, what might be, what could be, what should be, what would be, what you be, what me be. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, we'll be right back here, Doug. Hang on. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we're talking about the movie Lincoln, which should be out in the late fall of this year, starring Daniel Day-Lewis as the 16th President of the United States. More with Doug Danger here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show right after these messages, 877-876-PHIL.
The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Woo!
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. On the line with us from the Orange County Courier is Doug Danger, as we continue talking with him about the forthcoming, and I mean way off in the distance, movie Lincoln, I know you asked me why would I have you review this movie this early. It's because it's an interesting topic.
Well, I get that, Phil, and I have a lot of people who are interested in certain kinds of movies. I mean, I tend to want to review movies that are coming out currently. But this film is a, as you mentioned, it's a Spielberg movie. Now, I don't know whether Steven Spielberg still has the clout, you know, that he's got, but we're going to see.
Tommy Lee Jones, we mentioned.
Yeah, well, that's true. Tommy Lee Jones in this movie as Thaddeus Stevens, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Robert Todd Lincoln. Now, I guess Robert Todd Lincoln has a big part in this movie. I don't know who he is. Was he the brother?
He's the son.
The son of Lincoln.
Yeah, that was the son of Abraham Lincoln.
All right. And then Sally Field is, and again, you're going to have to help me, Mary Todd Lincoln. I know is the wife. And David Strainhorn plays this guy, Seward. Now, that's the guy that I can't place.
He was the Secretary of State. I mean, these are all people that were significant players at that particular time in the history of this country.
No, I know that. I know that. I'm just trying. I know who Abraham Lincoln is, okay? What I don't know are some of these people, and this is why this movie may not do as well as I think it should. You got Jared Harris playing Ulysses S. Grant. Now, you tell me that's a general. I believe you. He's a general. I just don't know.
You don't know what?
I don't know what his significance is. People are going to ask, well, what's that got to do with anything?
He was a famous Union general, man. He was the guy. He was the...
So he was the best general that the North had.
Yes, he was the man that bloody well won the war, given the fact that we were having a lot of setbacks early on.
All right, well, who's... Okay, but that has to be explained to people.
You don't think people know who Ulysses S. Grant is? I mean, the guy was on a... his face was on a damn $50 bill.
What's that got to boil? Phil, I got to tell... Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You don't... Okay. Why would they put a guy...
You know, they got a lot of people on a lot of things, Phil. There's an Indian on an Indian head nickel. What's his name? What's the name of the Indian on the Indian head nickel?
I haven't seen an Indian head nickel in years.
All right, so you don't know his name?
No, I don't.
Okay. But that's my point. My point is...
Oh, come on, Doug. What I'm trying to say is every school child should know the name of Ulysses S. Grant.
I'm telling you that that's your wish and that's your hope. The average person out there doesn't know who Ulysses S. Grant is. They know who Abraham Lincoln is. They know who, I don't know, Geronimo is. You name the names, they know the... But when you start getting into some of this particular stuff, they don't know any, and especially people in the South. And that's the other thing. I come from the South, as you know, Phil. I come from Florida. How are my people going to receive this movie? I'll tell you how they're going to receive it. I don't think it's going to be very well. That's why I'm worried. You know,
you don't think that this film transcends all kinds of horse dung like that and just is simply the story of a great man?
The story of a great man that kicked the South's ass? Is that the man you're talking about? Because that's what happened.
Well, all right. So what you've got here then, Doug, is a Steven Spielberg movie that you said could be great or it could be a disaster.
Yeah. And it could be a disaster.
Based upon the fact that in the South it may not be well received and that most people don't know who Ulysses S. Grant is or Robert Todd Lincoln or Mary Todd Lincoln.
Exactly. I mean, they know who Mary Lincoln is. They know that was the wife. But Robert Todd Lincoln, they don't know. They never heard of him and they could care less. They don't know who Ulysses S. Grant is and they could care less. They don't know who Tad Lincoln. Is that a kid too?
Tad Lincoln was one of his boys that died. He died from some ailment. I forget what it was. Might have been tuberculosis.
All right. I mean, so the kid's dead. I don't understand why he has to populate the film with these tangential and peripheral characters. This guy, William Seward. This guy, Charles...
William Seward was, you know...
Bill, I know you know who it is, but the average person doesn't. And that's why this movie has a big, big chance of bombing. Number two, you're going to trot out a movie about Abraham Lincoln in cities like Atlanta and Memphis and New Orleans? Really? You think so, huh? I'm telling you right now, these people are going to go, they're going to go absolutely wild on this thing. I don't think that they are, not only are they not going to stay away, but you might even see demonstrations.
Oh, man. I mean, I think you're reading this thing all wrong.
Really?
I think you're reading this thing all wrong. Way wrong, man. I don't think the South is going to give one hot holy crap that it's a movie about a guy named Abraham. I think they're going to turn... People in the South, we've said on the show many times, they're the most patriotic Americans that I know of. They'll turn out because they want to see... You know, when Lincoln got assassinated, the South didn't react very well.
What do you mean they didn't react very well?
When Abraham Lincoln got assassinated, the Southerners were... They were shocked. They were horrified.
Well, that's in hindsight you can say that.
No, I'm not talking about in hindsight. I'm talking about the day he got shot, the newspapers in the South, with rare exceptions, said that it was a horrible thing, that it was the worst possible thing that could have happened.
Well, I'm telling you right now, when this movie comes out, proof will be in the pudding. But I think in cities like Atlanta, in cities like Birmingham, in cities like Memphis, in cities like in all them places that is, you know, of the South, I think they're going to look at this movie like very suspect, because they still remember very, very vividly, Union troops burning their crops.
Who remembers that, man? What are you talking about?
Wow, where have you been? You didn't hear about the March to the Sea.
When it happened in 1860, whatever, man, the cats that are living in the South right now don't remember that stuff.
What?
Who remembers that? This is 2012. Who lives in the South today that remembers Sherman burning their freaking crops?
This is a bitter memory in the South, Phil. Something that has lived on. And
lived on with who, man? I mean, I'm sure there's some people down there that are, you know, still got a little bit of that Southern rebel thing going on. But who the hell remembers him burning crops?
Boy, you don't get it, do you? You don't get how those women saw the Union troops forcing black soldiers to, you know, steal the cows and stuff? You don't...
What?
What a man.
All right, we're going to be right back with more from Doug Danger. We also have Pastor William Rennick back on with us in a moment here as we continue talking about the film Lincoln on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, they remembered him stealing their cows and everything, man. It's just...
Well, they do. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When are you going to get that through your head?
Phil Hendry.
Yep.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Doug Danger here, 877-876-PHIL, about the forthcoming film, which is Lincoln. And just looking down the... Now, you've said some stuff here that's pretty interesting, Doug. You say that the film may not be well-received in the South. You say that it's because of the fact that it's Abraham Lincoln. You say that, Spielberg may drop the ball the way he did with Amistad. And then you make the point that he's Jewish.
Well, he is Jewish.
Right. Are you telling me that that's one more strike against the movie in the South?
I think that it is. I mean, Phil... One of the things that Southerners always, because I come from the South, I'm not only a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm a gay Southerner. I'm from St. Augustine, Florida, all right? I'm from ground zero in the civil rights activities, because it was St. Augustine where the stuff hit the fan, other than Birmingham and Montgomery and places like that. But first you got this movie about Abraham Lincoln, who's basically a guy that went down to the South and said, guess what? Here's what's up. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody, it just kicked ass. Now you got this movie, and not only that, you get the movie made by a Jewish guy. So you got every which way of bad for this movie to be received well down South. And
I think you're being really unfair. I there's no Jewish people in the South. There's no.
There's Jewish people in the South, but they're Southernized Jewish. I mean, if you meet a Jewish person down South, Phil, you wouldn't know they're Jewish any more than you'd know anything else about them. They're the most hick, probably some of the most hick, backward people down South are Jewish. And
the most hick and backward.
Yes. If you go to Alabama, let's say Mississippi, the Mississippi Delta, go down to the most backward, barefoot, forgive me, but, all the stuff that you think about when you think of the stereotypical Southerner, barefoot, ignorant, squirrel gun, you name it, they're all Jews.
Now, come on, man. Is this just another...
I'm telling you. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't care what you are. Is this just one more form of anti-Semitism? And
what are you talking about, man? I'm not... are you crazy? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist, but you're coming up with some stuff here about... You got the South still back in the Civil War. You got cats worrying about whether their crops got burned by Sherman. You got people thinking about this and that and a million other things. You're telling me that this is what's going to sink this movie, and this is what's going to be, throwing all these careers on a fire, man. What about the good stuff this guy's done?
I told you, man, when he made Saving Private Ryan and that other one, that Liam Neeson's List or whatever the hell that was called.
Schindler's List.
What are you getting so pissed off about?
You're a movie reviewer. You don't know the name of that movie.
I'm a movie reviewer who's reviewed, Phil, close to 25,000 movies, okay? And I don't remember every single one. So I called it Liam Neeson's List. That's what most people think of it as.
It's called Schindler's List.
Right, but most people think of it as Liam Neeson's List.
What do you want me to say? I get in a whole other argument with you about that one.
Well, you don't need to argue with me, I'm telling you. Most people think that Liam Neeson's the guy that freed all those Jews.
All right, so you really think people are dumb?
Phil, I'm a gay... I don't think. I know they're dumb. I ain't saying that we don't have smart people out there. We got a few. But we've got some real dumbasses. Believe me, Phil, I read their letters. I'm gay. I'm a gay man.
877-876-PHIL. Let's get Pastor William Rennick back on the line here, who wanted to weigh in on the Abraham Lincoln controversy. Pastor, thanks for being with us. It's been one of those nights, huh?
Phil, that's all right. I understand. And by the way, Doug, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really well, Pastor.
Good. Listen, I want to tell you, and I don't mean to, Doug, I'm not trying to preempt what you're saying, you know, but I've got to tell you about there's another Abraham Lincoln movie that's coming out this year. And do you know what it is, Doug?
There's another Abraham Lincoln movie?
Yeah, and there's another one. Phil, you know?
I do not.
All right, it is a movie that I am looking forward to, and I'm going to tell you something right now. As far as I'm concerned, and a lot of people are going to be thinking I'm kidding, I think it's going to have it all over this movie by Steven Spielberg. It's a film called Abraham Lincoln, and please just listen to me now. It's a film called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, I heard of this one.
Yeah, well, that movie is going, in the words of you young people, it's going to kick some ass. And I'm going to be front and center. I'm going to be the first person in line to buy a ticket to that one. Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
Vampire Slayer. Let me tell you what. You can talk all...
Let me just ask you something, my pastor, if you could. This is Doug.
Go ahead.
I don't understand. Are you serious?
I don't... Yes, I'm serious, sir. Why would I not be serious?
Because you're a pastor, and you're charged with the education of people, like I think a lot of people are. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm trying to do what I can, what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
So what are you saying?
I'm telling you right now that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer is the movie to see. You've been talking here, and I've been listening to you and Phil going on and on and on about this Abraham Lincoln movie, and I'm about to fall asleep. As I'm listening to you telling about William Seward this and the South that, nobody cares, man. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. That's the magic word. And you've got to get people out to see that movie. And
why do I need to get people out to see that?
Because it's going to kick ass! You know what?
I got to ask you the same question that Doug asked you. Are you serious?
What is wrong with you two? Yes, I'm serious.
Why would you think that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer is the movie to see?
It sounds like a damn good movie. Look, this man come on your program, and I know Doug Danger, and he says he's gay, this, gay, that. He's gay all over. You know what I'm saying? That joke, Doug, about it, I'm gay. What's red and white and black all over? What's red and white and gay all over?
I guess a sunburned gay zebra.
You got it. Now, what I'm going to try to say... What are you laughing at?
A sunburned gay zebra?
Yeah.
All right.
But what I'm trying to say to you is, this movie, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, have you seen it, Doug?
I haven't seen it, and I've got to tell you, I'm going to be very honest with you right now. I'm a gay man and a gay jerk.
Yeah, I know you're gay. I know you're gay.
God, what is up with you, man?
I am a minister of God. Okay?
Now we're down to it. Now you're going to tell me how homosexuality is bad.
No, I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to say that at all. I'm not going to say that at all. All I'm going to try to say to you is the following thing. You come on this program, you said gay, and you said I'm gay man. I said, I know it already. I got it down, okay? You want me to tattoo it on some of the tattoo? You want me to put it in a little memo on my refrigerator? I'll do that. I know you're gay.
Well, I mean, you're coming on here. I'm black.
When did I say I'm black?
When did he say that?
Well, you're being black.
Well, you're being gay. God. So anyway, Phil, I want you to go out, and I want you to do something for me. Go down to the mall here, wherever you go see them. Where you go see your movies?
I don't know. Just go over to the mall. Yeah.
Okay. Go over to the mall and get yourself tickets to see this vampire, see the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to wilt your permanent. It'll ride your wig clean off. That's how good I think it's going to be.
I can't see how that movie is going to be better than a factual account of Abraham Lincoln.
Here's the thing. The factual account of Abraham Lincoln is fine, but people need to know that Abraham Lincoln was bigger than life. You know, Abraham Lincoln was bigger than life. Abraham Lincoln, he not only saved the country, he not only freed the black people, he did a lot of stuff. You know, this man, he could kick ass on a vampire. And I don't doubt for a minute, not for 1 minute, Abraham Lincoln could go out and take on Dracula. What do you think of that, Phil?
And I think you're being stupid.
You think I'm being stupid? You use the word stupid.
I think you're being stupid, too. That
to me is ridiculous.
That sounds dumb. Well, I don't give a damn what either one of you say. I'm a man of God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling you now, just as God put into the very heart and into the mind of John the Baptist, when he stood out in front of the people, he said, I'm telling you now, he's on his way. He's on his way, y'all better listen to me. And I think the same thing he put in Abraham Lincoln. I'll tell you right now, Abraham Lincoln would take out Dracula. Take him out like a bad smell. Don't tell me.
So what? We'll never know. Dracula didn't exist.
Abraham Lincoln did.
Well, he might have existed. What are you going to do? Go down to the White House and say, hey, President Lincoln, how about going out and taking on Dracula?
You know something? I would have. Because if there was a Dracula, Abraham Lincoln would grab his top hat and say, excuse me for a minute, preacher. Excuse me, Mr. Frederick Douglass. Excuse me, all you free slaves. I'm going to go out and kick ass.
You think he's going to go out and kick ass on Dracula?
I know he'd kick ass on Dracula.
Because of a movie?
No, not because of... Oh, man. Not because of a movie. Because the movie captures the essence of what y'all is doing.
Well, I think, Pastor, I think you've had a lot of fun here mocking a great movie by Steven Spielberg.
And I'm not mocking Mr. Spielberg's movie. I don't give a damn. I hope he does a good job of that movie. I don't see that movie, but the movie I'm looking forward to, the movie most people are looking forward to, the movie I want to see, and the movie I will see, and the movie I will not stop from being seen, is Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Slayer! And yeah, I think he'd kick ass on Dracula. I think he'd kick ass on that Lestat bastard, whoever that Lestat mother is. I think he'd kick ass on that damn Interview with a Vampire. I think he'd kick ass on that damn Blade. I think he'd kick ass on every single one of them suckers in Twilight. He'd kick their ass. And I think that's what we need.
Well, reinventing a former president as a superhero sounds like fun.
Oh, I get it. Okay, so, ha. Pastor Reddick, you a lot of fun.
We got to take a break, Pastor.
Yeah, you got to take a break, Pastor. I know.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Yeah, you bet it's your gay.
Okay, put everybody on hold. Thank you. So, this year, don't forget Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, as well as the one by Spielberg. It ought to be pretty good as he kicks ass. As he kicks ass on that Interview with a Vampire, with Blade, all them Twilight suckers. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our News and Information Hour coming up next hour. Don't forget our podcast, Episode 3, available on the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Kick ass! That's what he's doing, kick ass!
World famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget to download, and I mean download, the living hell out of our latest podcast, Episode 3. Find the link there on our homepage at philhendryshow.com. And also get a backstage pass and join us here every night on our videocast, as well as all of the archives and our daily show podcast. Pastor William Renick with us, Doug Danger with us as we talk about the film Lincoln. Let's get Roy on the line. Roy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, and you're talking with not only Pastor William Renick, we also have Doug Danger on here.
Oh, hey, Phil, how are you?
Good.
Phil, I wanted to ask your movie reviewer, Mr. Danger.
Yes, sir.
I think your appraisal of Lincoln might be a little bit off. President Lincoln was a phenomenal president.
I didn't appraise Lincoln. I think Mr. Hendry did. I was saying that the movie might be good, or it might be bad.
Oh, okay. Mr. Hendry, you said what?
Well, I don't know. What is your question, sir?
Someone said that Ulysses S. Grant was the general, and he was, and he was a very good general. And I wanted to make the point that while Grant was a good general and Lincoln was a great president, there was another gentleman who'd come on here talking about the Vampire Slayer movie. That was the one.
That's me. I'm Pastor Renick.
Oh, yes. Okay, sir. You were talking about the Vampire Slayer movie. Are you aware of a film called The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Yes, I am.
Now, that is a film that I think is what we're looking for in cinema. It is a film of outstanding acting, and it also is a group of fantasy-like figures who are engaged in something heroic.
So let me tell you something, sir, if I could.
Yes.
I saw the movie League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It was one of the greatest films I'd ever seen in my life.
Wasn't it wonderful?
It was absolutely wonderful. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a movie about hold on for a minute, okay? Because I'm gonna describe it.
Well, you're about to...
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. What's your name?
My name's Roy.
Right, this is Pastor Renick. Hold on. Pastor Renick's got the floor now. I'm gonna talk about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, one of the greatest movies ever made.
I thought it sucked.
Who said that?
I did.
Who?
Me, Phil Hendry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Roy did. What'd you say, Roy?
No, I liked the movie.
Roy liked the movie. I liked the movie. You think it what?
The movie sucked. S-U-C-K-E-D. Sucked, or if you will, B-L-E-W-E-D.
Blued? Wow.
Well, I think that's a very harsh assessment. I got to agree with Phil on that one. Extraordinary
Gentlemen.
Yeah, that blowed. That didn't just blew. It blew and blow and blowed. I wouldn't say that. I agree with the pastor.
Let me set you suckers straight. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen kicked ass. That's the same way that this Marvin Gaye, what's the name of the movie? Malcolm X, Graveyard Hunter or something?
Huh?
What's the movie with the vampire hunter?
Abraham Lincoln.
I thought there's a Malcolm X.
No, not that. There's no Malcolm X graveyard. What'd you say?
Malcolm X grave robber.
Will you get out of here with that? Roy, continue, please, and then we have to move on.
Well, I just wanted to say, I thought that the Vampire Slayer film falls short, but I think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, especially the concept of Mina Harker and...
Okay, thanks a lot, and it's been great talking to you.
Well, I just wanted to also...
You cut that man off!
You better believe I cut him off. That guy was about as babbling a mother as I've ever heard in my life. Both of you guys are out of your minds. That movie sucked.
What do you mean it sucked? When did you ever see League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I saw it when I was laying in the hospital.
Well, that ain't watching a movie. Did you see it on AMC?
Yeah.
No wonder. AMC blowed.
Yeah. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Rudy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Rudy, you're on with Pastor William Renick and Doug Danger. How are you doing here tonight, Rudy? Rudy, you there?
Be a man who said that.
Just say that again, sir.
I said, hello, Phil, can you hear me?
Good, yeah, I can hear you.
I said, the man who said that Vampire Slayer, this Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, was a good film. I think he needs to have his head examined because that movie, to me, is going to be a joke, you know.
But this is Pastor Renick. What's your name?
My name is Rudy Canosa.
You're Rudy Canosa. Is that your name?
Yes, that is my name. I give my first and my last name always.
All right, well, Rudy, you may be new to our country. Maybe you don't understand the significance of Abraham Lincoln.
And, well, I understand the significance of Abraham Lincoln. I understand what Abraham Lincoln can do, but Abraham Lincoln cannot do everything. Abraham Lincoln is not someone who is capable of doing everything. He's not a man who is capable of killing a vampire.
Well, I don't think you understand. I think we all see Abraham Lincoln differently. I think we think he can kill vampires. That's the fantasy.
Well, let me tell you something that I know from my country, and tell me if you know how to do this. In my country, for instance, if Abraham Lincoln was the president in my country...
What is your country?
My country is Argentina.
What is that again?
My country is Argentina.
Go ahead.
You are very loud.
I am loud because I'm very passionate about Van Fey.
God, you're turning down.
Okay, Pastor, could you back off the phone?
What?
Back off the phone!
In my country, if Abraham Lincoln were the president, and Abraham Lincoln were invested in superpower, the ability to super, to Superman, you know, however, to fly.
Then nobody said Abraham Lincoln know how to fly. We don't want no president that can fly. We want a president that can take care of business right here on terra firma. And number one, I want to have a president that's going to go out and stake me a vampire. And number two, I want a president to take the head right off them zombie. You know, if you've ever seen The Walking Dead, the zombie, take that damn thing out and de-ghoul it. I want a president to do something like that.
I'm saying to you, in my country, we would want a president that could speak to women and to men and to all people with love and with harmony and with peace and to be able to...
you don't have no president do that. We want a president kick ass.
A president who can speak the words of peace. And
oh, hold on, Rudy, what are the words of peace?
I was going to say that the words of peace to say Elena, you know.
You got some problem? You got that sound to me like the back, maybe his alpha waves are off or something.
What is that, Rudy?
That is a custom in my country.
That's a custom in your country for what?
It's a custom in my country.
Are your alpha waves slow?
Will you hold on, please?
You know, the only thing that is slow on this program that I'm listening to tonight is you, sir. You are slow.
I'm not slow. How can I be slow when I'm saying to you that I want a president?
Can I finish, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
I want a president.
I want to finish, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
And to have a president that can go to the women and say, you, and this is what this means in my country, to say to a woman, that means...
What the hell is wrong with that man? Is that...
Would you hold on, please?
That is the word of peace. And I would much rather have a president that can speak the words of peace.
You are, here's the thing that the problem I'm having, Phil. This guy wants to have a president that sounds like he's going to swallow his own tongue, than a president that can go out and beat ass on all them twinkle-toe twilight vampires. I'd love to see Abraham Lincoln drive a stake through about six of them twilight vampires all at once. You dig me? You know what I'm putting down, right?
I can dig that. Yeah, I like that.
All right. See now, see? Look at the gay man, gay journalist. He's on my side.
I think you speak the words of war.
Words of war? Where are you from, man?
I said Argentina.
Well, you sound like... You know what it sound? You sound to me like some guy that... you know, his mom's got a leash on him. And she probably ties you to a railing at the mall or something.
Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And it's our news and information hour. And so, Bud and Robert, you're about all I can deal with this hour.
Well, you know, I tried the best I could.
Well, I ain't saying you did a bad job, but I think they put in a book in William Rennick in a sunscreen segment.
I thought it would work out.
It didn't work out.
Yeah, but what about vampire?
Yeah, that was okay. Anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour. You know, we were just talking about the Go-Go's because one of the Go-Go songs came on here during our break. And, you know, Dan was saying that he saw them.
I haven't seen no Go-Go's.
Well, I'm saying he saw them down in, he saw them when he was in the Army. He took his girlfriend a couple nights. It was a big thing. But the last thing we were talking about, which you weighed in on, Bud, was the whole girl musician thing.
I'm just saying you're not going to find no girl play the drums good is all I'm saying.
Why not?
What?
Why not?
They're not going to play the drip. How many girls do you know that will do it?
But they don't get no, they don't get hired.
You're using all the civil rights arguments that have been used time and again. And
wait a minute. He's making a good point, man. You don't think there's any good girl drummers. That's why none of them get hired. It's the opposite, man. It's kind of like, are blacks good quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, well, now they've proven their worth.
What are you talking about, proving their worth, man? They're always good enough.
They wasn't no good until Doug Williams threw them touchdowns in Super Bowl. I forget the one that it was.
Wait. But why don't you shut up while you're ahead, man, okay? Just shut up. You know, how are you going to know anybody's any good unless you hire them? That's the whole thing. You're going to tell me the chick can't play drums? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. I mean, otherwise, why ain't there more?
There ain't no more chicks playing drums because nobody hires chick drummers, okay? It's the same thing. Over and over again, we got to make this we got to explain this to you. The reason why there's no chicks playing drums is cats don't hire them. So what do you think a chick thinks of when she wants to be a professional musician? When she wants to go into the world of music and she wants to play an instrument, you think she's going to be a drummer?
Why wouldn't she?
Because she ain't going to get hired, man. Nobody's going to hire her ass. Maybe they'll hire her as a guitar player. Maybe they'll hire her as a bass player. Maybe. They always hire chick singers. And if you play like, what were you saying, Robert?
Yeah, if you play like a chick instrument or something. What do you mean a chick instrument?
Like a violin or something, man. You got to play a chick instrument. Yeah, like a cello. You play a chick instrument, then they'll hire your ass. But how many rock and roll bands going to hire a chick playing a violin?
That's the whole point, man. They're not going to hire no chick. Why don't they learn how to play something good?
Are you some kind of an idiot? Are you listening to what I'm saying? When I was growing up, I knew girls that loved to play the drums. They wanted to play the drums. They played the drums. They played their brother's drum kit. But they didn't, you know, it was useless. They said, why? Why would I even invest my time into that? Who's going to hire a chick drummer, okay?
Didn't you tell me there was a chick drummer in that one group that you knew about?
Yeah, the Honeycombs. No, that was a group called the Honeycomb. Yeah. They had one hit and they had a chick drummer, yeah.
What about them?
They had a chick drummer. But, I mean, it didn't inspire all these chicks to get hired. I mean, now you see female drummers. Occasionally I see female drummers more and more with bands, you know. But you don't see them. And the reason is, why are they going to want to play rock and roll? So the Go-Go's come along, you know, and they're playing their music.
Okay, so why didn't more and more and more and more?
Man, you're talking like you're all tarted up.
You're tarted.
Hey. Why? Because the Go-Go's, I maintain, the Go-Go's made a splash because, and this is nothing against them, okay? It's nothing against them as musicians, nothing against them as songwriters, nothing. But I think it's the old timing thing, right place, right time, and an all-female rock band. That was a real novelty. People wanted to see that. People wanted to invest a little bit into that because of the, you know, women's liberation. So they go, wow, let's, you know, here's the Go-Go's. Let's buy their records. They're really good. Okay.
What about that one band called the Bang? What was it called? Yeah, the Bangers. The Bang?
The Bangles.
No.
Yeah, the Bang. They were all chick group, too. Yeah, they did okay.
So why weren't there more?
Because why? What's the point, man? I mean, let's do an all-chick. What does that mean, let's do an all-chick group? Well, don't you want to have the best musicians? I mean, isn't that what that's about? Unless you're hanging out with somebody, and you all hang out, and you go, let's form a band. Most of the people that hang out and say, let's form a band, are male. They're not female. And at the very best, most of them that hang out and form a band are male with maybe a chick singer or two chicks in the group, something like that. It's very rare that four or five girls get together on the street and say, let's start a group. And then they start a group, and they get so good that they get to play clubs, and then somebody notices them, and they're good, and they get signed to a management contract, and then they finally get signed to a... Do you know how long you got to stay together, man, to get to where the Go-Go's got? You know, so those girls probably deserve a lot of credit because they hung in.
So what are you saying, man? If there's more good girl group, why build the girl groups?
What did you just say?
Man, I sound just like you when you got a mouth full of... ribs?
Why, you lousy... Hey! What did I tell you guys about that? You know, Bud, you're just stupid, man. You know, you're just stupid.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, you're baiting him. You're with the race stuff. And, you know, girls can't do that. You're just an idiot, man. You're like, you're representative of so many people in this country. You're just dumb. The only thing that saves you from absolute anonymity in the vast, faceless, unwashed wasteland of humanity is that you work for me.
Call that working.
Exactly. All right. Victim in face-chewing attack identified as cops recount goriest crime. God! The hell? It's being called one of the city's goriest crimes. A naked man was on top of another nude man along a busy highway, biting into the man's face, tearing it to pieces. A police officer arrived to help, but the mauler growled at him and continued to chew away, stopping only when he was shot to death. Miami police said little Tuesday about the attack, which took place Saturday afternoon in the shadow of the Miami Herald headquarters. Surveillance video from the newspaper's security camera showed cars, motorcycles, pedestrians, and bicyclists passing by. The victim, identified as 65-year-old Ronald Popo, a homeless man who lived under the causeway, was in critical condition. He had his face eaten down to his goatee. The forehead was just bone. No nose, no mouth, said Sergeant Armando Aguilar, president of the Miami Fraternal Order of Police. In my opinion, he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sergeant Javier Ortiz, vice president of the Miami Fraternal Order of Police, said it was one of the bloodiest and goriest scenes I've ever been to. Were these responding officers, or are these men asked to speak on behalf of?
What do you mean?
Well, what is this stuff, president of the Miami Fraternal Order of Police?
That's a club.
No, it ain't a club. It's their union, man. But what I'm saying is, why are they identifying these cats as members of the union?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's something to... What is it with you, Fox? Why don't you do things the way other people do it? What are you... Anyway, well, if you did things the way other people did them, you'd probably do them worse. I don't understand the significance. If the guy was a this is a responding officer. I don't know whether this guy is a member of Miami-Dade. It says Miami Police. So I'm going to have to assume that there's still something called the City of Miami Police, which is not a bad thing to question, because the City of Miami has been a relative thing over the years. It's either been like nothing or a little thing as part of a big bunch of things that are as part of Dade County. It's very weird down there. You think this guy chewing this guy's face off is weird? You want to see all the how many cities they have in one county. That's weird. All right, anyway, Sergeant Javier Ortiz, vice president of Miami. What police department does he work for? How about that? Fair and balanced, I get. Letting me decide, I don't get, because I can't decide if you don't give me all the information. You dig? Capiche? It was not only grotesque, it was just very sad, the amount of blood. It was very sad to see what happened to this gentleman that had his face eaten, said Sergeant Javier Ortiz. Good Lord. Being a cop.
Man, I'd never be a cop.
Being a cop must be just... I got to tell you, though, I mean, is it wrong for me to say this? If you're going to be a cop, you got to be able to handle it. It's, you know, I know it sounds cold-hearted. I say to you, I'm not a cop because I couldn't handle it. If I were a cop and I saw it, I would do one of two things. I'd break down and never stop crying, or I'd shoot the guy as soon as I caught him doing that, which I think they did. Well, they did shoot and kill the guy, right?
Yeah, they shot and told him. They killed that guy.
But, I mean, suppose they arrested the cat. A cat like this, if they were able to arrest him, because they tried to get the guy restrained, I think, and they finally shot him.
Is that what they said?
Only when he was shot to death. It's not clear what led Rudy Eugene, age 31, this is the guy that was shot by the Miami police officers, to attack Popo. Eugene's ex-wife, Jenny DuCont, told WPLG television that he was somewhat paranoid. I wouldn't say he had mental problems, but he always felt like people were against him. No one was for him. Everybody was against him. Well, that was a guy on his way to paranoid schizophrenia, man.
What's that?
Paranoid schizophrenia is when you are beginning to feel like the whole world has got an in for you until finally you've lost complete touch with reality. Your reality is completely fractured. You don't know anything, man. Everything is a mess. You don't know who's talking to you. You don't know who isn't. You don't know if there's, you know, some of these people think they got microphones. Didn't you tell me you had an uncle?
Yeah, that's right. I had an uncle. He thought there was microphones in his rug.
In his rug?
Yeah, yeah. He'd be tearing up his rug once a week.
What, did they put him in a hospital?
I don't know.
God. So, yeah, that's probably what happened. Larry Vega was riding his bicycle off the causeway, which connects downtown Miami with Miami Beach, when he saw the attack. So I know exactly where this was. This is the causeway going over to the beach, and this is the causeway that you generally take coming over from the airport, too, if I'm not mistaken. The guy was, like, tearing him to pieces with his mouth, so I said, get off, Vega told Miami television station WSVN. The guy just kept eating the other guy away, like ripping his skin. Oh, God! Vega flagged down the Miami police officer, who can be seen exiting his car on the Herald video. Vega said the officer repeatedly ordered the attacker to get off. Eugene just picked his head up and growled at the officer before continuing to maul his victim. The officer shot Eugene, but he just kept chewing. The officer fired again, killing him. Oh, my God. This is like, this guy's got to be psychotic.
Remember that lady that ate that baby?
Yeah, that lady. There was a lady that they caught after she had partially consumed an infant. These are people, to be honest with you, I can't even get angry at people like this. They're sick, folks. You know, it's a real disease. And I'll tell you, as we said before, schizophrenia, which sounds like this guy's problem, schizophrenia actually destroys the physical tissue of the brain. Within 5 years, I've said this before, within 5 years, people who suffer from the schizophrenic condition without treatment lose something like 25% of their gray matter. It's gone, man. So it's a real physical ailment. And we've only figured this out within the last century. Before that, schizophrenic people were chained to walls in madhouses. They were, oh my God, you know.
Like in that movie that we saw where they took Boris Karloff and they put him in a wall. Man, life ain't all about movies and stuff.
No, he's right. It was a movie. All right, let's come back and talk about something a little bit more, oh, I don't know, something more pleasant, huh? How about skin cancer? I'm kidding. We'll be back with something more pleasant. Anything's more pleasant than this. Maybe if you're watching Phil TV in HD, just coming back and looking at my face one more time, that's more pleasant than this. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm hungry. What do you want? Give me a pizza. I'll tell you something. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thanks to our guests this evening. We had Doug Danger on the line. We had Pastor William Rennick on the line. We had David G. Hall. We had R.C. Collins. Had quite a few people with us. Margaret Gray sang very beautifully the song Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did, bud, okay?
That's a bit classy, man. She butchered it.
Just be classy. If I say she sang it nice, she sang it nice, man. We're doing it for the consumption of the audience, you know?
Yeah, but you say that's for the consumption of the audience. That's like gnawing the audience's face off.
And will you get serious here?
I'm kidding. What are you talking about, man?
What do you mean it's like gnawing the audience's face off?
Just be honest with them.
Hey, bud. Shut up.
All right.
For the consumption, well, that's like gnawing their face off. Speaking of weird, and we can get into this guy's story because there's something having to do with bath salts. Have you heard about this? I'm loath to talk about it because there might be a few people out there who suddenly get all, you know, jumpy. Hey, man, let's get a hold of some bath salts. Yeah. And now they're gonna, you know,
probably want to go out and get high on bath salt. I know I would.
Yeah, well, you know, bud, we wouldn't want you to be high in bath salts because then you might consume someone's face and say, I caused you to do it because of the way I'm reporting the news.
All right.
So we'll get into that. But the world just gets weirder and weirder. You know, we give you the story out of Miami. Here's one out of New Jersey. And God almighty, what a country, huh? This is from New Jersey. A man who stabbed himself and threw pieces of his skin and intestines at police officers trying to subdue him was hospitalized in critical condition on Monday. He was stabbing himself and then threw pieces of his own intestine at cops.
And he lived?
And he lived. Officers encountered 43-year-old Wayne Carter on Sunday morning when they responded to reports of a man barricaded in a room in Hackensack threatening to harm himself, according to Lieutenant John Heineman. Two ossifers kicked in the door and saw Carter in a corner holding a knife in his hand. Carter, ignoring the officer's orders to drop the knife, stood up and stabbed himself in the abdomen, legs, and neck. Carter yelled at the officers and took an aggressive stance, and the officers used pepper spray in a bid to subdue him, but it had no effect. Police said that Carter then cut pieces of his skin and intestines and threw them at the officers.
Good God!
Why did he do that, man?
I'm telling you, these people have got to be psychotic. Okay? Psychotic. That's when you don't know what you're doing, man. That's different from a psychopath.
You're talking about a psychopath gonna kill somebody.
Psychopaths are not psychotic. Psychopaths, man, they got a real good grip on reality. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going on, man. The only thing about a psychopath is they can, when they're looking around and they're going, aha, this is the lay of the land. I'm me, you're you. Oh, yeah, they know what's up. And they know what the law is, too. Oh, I can't do that. No, if I do that, I go to jail. But the problem with a psychopath is, it isn't a schizophrenic's problem. A psychopath isn't going to go out and gnaw a guy's face in the middle of traffic. He's going to say, what the hell do I want to do that for? I'm going to get caught. Some of them are organized, some are disorganized. But a psychopath is a guy that could gnaw a guy's face off like Hannibal Lecter. And it would be as if he was eating Christmas turkey. It would have no effect on him.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about this. Dude, what do you feel when you carve a turkey at Thanksgiving? Bud?
What are you talking about?
What do you feel when you carve a turkey at Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm hungry.
Okay.
And it's going to be fun, you know?
Right. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's about what a psychopath feels when they're killing somebody.
That they're hungry and it's fun?
That they're hungry and it's fun, yeah. Or that this is going to be good for, this is great. See? Do you cry?
No.
You don't cry when you carve the turkey?
No. What am I going to cry for?
That's the same thing what a psychopath would say when they kill somebody. What am I going to cry for? I'm killing this thing because I need to kill it. You're carving the turkey because you need to. Because it's Thanksgiving. You don't give a damn about the turkey.
Well, I sort of do.
You sort of do, but not really. You have this sort of distant feeling for once upon a time this might have been a turkey that gobbled out in a yard someplace, but it ain't no big thing, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
okay, that's the same thing with a psychopath. They sort of have this feeling that this is a person, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. They're killing this person, and they kill people with the same feeling that you and I have when we cut a freaking turkey for dinner. The same thing. They have no guilt, the same way we have no guilt. Now, a psychotic guy, whole other thing. That cat doesn't feel anything that you and I feel because that cat ain't even living on the planet Earth. He's on another planet called I'm Crazy Planet. And that's the place where it makes perfect sense to eat a guy's face. Absolute sense.
Well, what the hell are you talking about, man? How do you make sense out of gnawing on a guy's face? Yeah, that's what I meant about you. You're gnawing on the audience's face right now, talking that way.
What are you? Will you stop with that? I'm telling you that in the nutty world that this guy lives in, this guy, this freak, whatever is Rudy Eugene, eating that guy's face made perfect sense. That's exactly what he had to do.
But in the planet that he lived in, yeah,
right. The crazy world the crazy world of Rudy Eugene, man, as opposed to the crazy world of Arthur Brown. All right, well, let's come back here and change the subject, because now it's really going to put me off my post-show meal, which is generally a turkey sandwich. We'll be right back here on The World and Just a Side of Face. I'm kidding.
God, that's sick.
I'm joking. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Side of face. I like that, man. Let's put it. Shut up.
Phil Hendry.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World Famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We thank you for joining us this evening. Join us at our website after the show as we have a show log that we put up there for people who want to know what happened on the show. And you can download the podcast of the show the next day. Just look under recent shows on our website. It's over on the right-hand side. Also, on the left-hand side, you see a link there for the Phil Henry Radio, the free Phil Henry podcast. So hit that link and get our free podcast available now. Download all three, as a matter of fact. Right, bud?
Yes, go over there. You can find it, and that'll take you on there.
Yeah, that's great. Jeez, man.
What was that, man? What?
Why don't you say it better, man? You go over there, man. It's on the... You know, I give you an opportunity.
Go over to the link, and then you hit it, and then it'll go over. Then you download it.
Yeah, that's fine.
What was wrong with that?
Nothing. That's great. So, John Edwards, let's just get off the whole idea, if we can, for 5 seconds, just five lousy seconds. Get off the whole thing about eating intestines and a guy's face, if you don't mind. And let's talk about John Edwards. Now, John Edwards is currently on trial.
Yeah, hold on, I'm sorry.
What?
Do you want onions?
On what?
I'm talking about getting a pizza. Yeah.
Will you get out of here with the pizza? I'm talking about this. You know, how can you order a pizza?
I'm hungry, man.
Right after I talked about a guy eating his own intestines?
It's late. What do you want?
Nothing, thank you. John Edwards is currently on trial.
Yeah, we'll just get the regular...
You mind if I do this, bud? I'm on the air right now, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
John Edwards is currently on trial.
What's a tab?
Bud, he's on the air.
I'm sorry, just getting a... Yeah? Oh, and put some napkins in there, too, okay? You never put napkins in there, okay? The heck is that? Couldn't they never give you napkins over there? I'm sorry.
If you do it one more time, you know what's going to happen, right?
You're going to kick my ass?
That's right. That's right. Very good. One more time, bud.
Can I just ask something?
What?
You want garlic bread?
No, I don't want garlic bread.
I do. Okay. Get two orders. Shut up with that, please. Make it snappy.
John Edwards is currently on trial for misuse of presidential campaign funds, like you didn't know that, but guess what? Which he allegedly, by the way, spent on his mistress, Riel Hunter, for his wife, while his wife was ill with cancer that would eventually take her life. It is scandal of the highest caliber possible. And we would have said that even before reading this report from an ABC newsman covering the trial. But now, since alternates were identified last Thursday, it's been impossible to ignore the dynamic between Edwards and one of the female alternates, an attractive young woman with jet black hair who seems to have been flirting with Edwards for days. The juror clearly instigated the exchanges. She smiles at him. He smiles at her. She giggles. He blushes. He gets up. He limps over for a glass of water. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sure he limps over. Yeah, probably got a big...
Will you shut up? She smiles. He blushes. He gets up. Rearranges.
Yeah, probably got to rearrange his pants.
Yeah.
All right, okay. She giggles, he blushes, he rips it. No, the flirtation has become so obvious that even Ed... What are you doing, bud?
Stepping.
Don't make the finger through the... The flirtation has become so obvious that even Edwards' attorneys have to work to suppress their laughter at the absurdity of it all. Are you putting me on or what?
You're kidding.
No. Oh, this is from, I guess this is from TMZ. Edwards is flirting with a... Somebody ought to slap that son of a gun into shape, man.
You almost said bitch.
Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry, bud. God, man, why don't you just pay attention to your own business, okay?
I'm waiting for the guy to come from Domino's. Can he call here?
No, he can't call here. We're on the air.
Sir, you can't... Get off the phone, man. Can't call here.
A disoriented Ryan Snyder was subdued by passengers and arrested in Miami. He was a Canadian that flipped his lid on an American Airlines flight. How about that?
Man, everybody flipping their lid now.
Got that right. A disoriented Ryan Snyder was subdued by passengers and has been arrested in an attempt to rush the cockpit of an American Airlines plane at Miami International Airport. What the hell's going on? It's just a lot of strange stuff, folks. It's okay. Ryan Snyder, age 24, was subdued by two first-class passengers. Thank God for first class, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
But anyway, as he tried to break into the cockpit, or he tried to break into cockpit mode, or so I don't know. Anyway, he's expected to face federal charges that could include interference with a flight crew, according to the FBI. One of the passengers who restrained him, Malik Khan, told ABC News Miami affiliate WPLG how they grabbed Snyder and held him down, and then began gnawing on his face. No, he didn't.
Let me see that.
I'm just kidding. No, they grabbed him and they held him down. We weren't going to allow him to harm anybody or to get to the cockpit, Khan said. He was screaming, get me off the plane, get me off the plane, get me back to Canada, get me off the plane.
Hey!
Get me off the plane.
Yeah.
Get me off. Anyway. No, he was screaming, get me off the plane. And why wouldn't he scream that? The plane had landed and they hadn't opened the door. So apparently he was screaming it too soon. Snyder does not appear to have any connection to terrorism. He has barely any connection to Canada. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have any connection to reality.
Yeah, he's on Planet Snyder.
He's on Planet Snyder, exactly. And he was not on the no-fly list. Aha! Well, that no-fly list, man, they better put the name Snyder on there. Start getting some names on there that, you know, other than Jimenez and Malakan or whatever the hell, or Ali Oxentree, whatever the hell they put on there. All right, so anyway, none of the 163 passengers on board were injured other than Snyder, and there was no damage to the plane. Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, I always got to find out, man, whether damage to the damn plane or not. You never, ever, never, 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 never.
What?
You don't, I mean, just say, you don't ever want to have that plane, you know.
Yeah, whatever, man. So, anyway, what were you saying? Anyway, so this guy was subdued by the people there in the damn, the airplane. And again, we have another example, I would say, of an individual who is just flipping his lid, man. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, but just gotta, I don't understand, man. It's scary.
Well, it may be scary, but, you know, there's more people today on Earth than there were back in the day. You understand that, okay? So there's going to be a higher incidence of us hearing about these things, and plus, we have more communications. So that means that with more communications, we have, a better opportunity to hear what's going on. And when you can hear what's going on, then you can obviously know what's going on. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we can cut off that line there. That was our mall. What is that, man?
That's the phone. Hold on. Yeah? Yeah, he's at the door. The pizza guy's at the door.
Yeah, get out of here with a... Come here for a minute.
Wait, the pizza's getting cold.
Get over here. Are you kidding me?
Well, the guy's, he's at the door right now.
But I told you not to have the guy call in here. Next time he calls... He's going to wait until we go to the break.
No, I get the pizza!
He's waiting until we get to the break. You understand? The guy's here with the pizza.
Well, what if it gets cold?
I don't care if it gets free. Give me... No, I'm getting it. Give me that. Which one is it? Hello?
Oh, yeah. I saw the number.
What?
Mom's phone.
Are you the guy with the pizza?
What?
Are you the guy with the pizza?
I want Ben Flynn.
You got the Domino's pizza.
Really?
Okay, hold on, man, and we're going to be there just as soon as we're out of our break here.
Everybody?
Just hold on.
I want Ben Flynn.
Yeah, see that guy? He's Arabian or something.
Oh, I see. And you speak Arabian?
Well, I'm communicating better than you.
Look at Bud, I'm doing the show right now. I don't need you having cats calling in here from Hell's Half Acre telling you that your pizza's... Will you give me the phone? Give it to me. What do you want? Hey, pal, just hang tight. I'll be with you in a minute. What? What is this guy? What are you talking about? I told you to wait until I get out of my break and we can talk about... Turn that off, bud. We can talk about... I'm going to kill somebody.
I told you.
How many pizza guys you got out there anyway?
I phoned four places because they didn't have no garlic bread.
Well, that took you long enough, huh? No.
Well, I forgot what it was, too.
All right, we're going to take a break here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget that we're... Hang on, will you?
That's Kylie.
The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth,
I can't go now?
Is
yeah,
our
go
bitch.
Get your pizza.
The Phil Hendry Show.
That's our feeling.
Man.
Yeah. I'm good. You have a bite. Man, it's great. You sure want it?
I don't want any of that, man. No.
You want to go? Got a bit of... Got buffalo wings, too.
No, I just keep it away from me, okay?
Well, I haven't had nothing to eat since breakfast.
How could you guys eat that after all this stuff we're talking about?
What?
Never mind.
Yeah, give me a Diet Coke. Thanks.
Now, you guys, can you be quiet while you're eating, while I'm doing what I'm doing?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, not a problem.
I'd like to say at this time, folks, if you are a music fan, if you were a fan of, I don't know anybody that could not be a fan of rock and roll growing up when I grew up.
Give me some of that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, I love that ranch dressing.
When I was growing up. But a man passed on by the name of Doc Watson.
What do you get for dessert?
I got some, probably get some churros.
Yeah.
And Doc Watson, this poor man, he hasn't passed on. Excuse me. He's critically ill. He's critically ill.
Want some Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Would you shut up?
What?
I'm trying to do this.
Want some Diet Coke? What do you get for dessert?
Yeah, give me the ranch dressing.
Yeah, what do you listen to us for? Just do the show.
Yeah.
You, I can't do it with you guys talking like that.
Want some ranch dressing?
No, I don't want any ranch dressing. What is that, man?
Buffalo wings.
Yeah, they're the hot kind.
Folk music giant. I should have just started reading the story, folks, because I'm screwing up listening to these guys. Folk music giant Doc Watson remains in critical condition in Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The 89-year-old guitarist had colon surgery last week and has also suffered a fall recently, according to his daughter, Nancy. The website Bluegrass Today reports that Watson remains in the hospital's ICU unit. Doc Watson, what I'm trying to say to you, when I was growing up in the 60s, we had a lot of folk music was popular back then. Bluegrass music was really popular. And listening to Doc Watson was particularly a popular thing. Doc Watson was a guy we listened to. We listened to Eric Von Schmidt and Dave Van Ronk and a lot of, Woody Guthrie, obviously. Pete Seeger was another one, even though those guys, Woody Guthrie was a real old-timer even by the 60s. And Doc Watson was one of them. I personally, I've always liked bluegrass music. I don't know why.
But you like Doc Hillbilly.
Yeah, but you just be quiet. I like bluegrass music because I like it. You know, what do you want me to tell you? I like it, you know?
Yeah, it's okay. Boy, I know black people play it, though.
There's black people that play bluegrass music. Sure there is.
Where are they?
I don't know. What do you mean, where are they? I mean, if you grew up in Appalachia, whether you're black or white, you probably play some kind of damn bluegrass music. I don't know. You know?
What's that stuff they play down in Louisiana? That's probably what black folks play.
Yeah, that's called Cajun.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. That ain't bluegrass. That's Cajun music.
Well, white people play Cajun?
Yeah, there's white folks that play Cajun, and there's black folks.
What about ranch dressing?
Shut up!
They play ranch dressing music, man.
You guys, I'm telling you, I'm going to start this. What do you mean, ranch dressing? So anyway, Doc Watson is very ill, and I suppose what we should do, if I was anywhere near the responsible broadcaster that I assume myself to be, I would double-check the news and find out that what the latest is on the good gentleman, if I had a crew that was ready to do that for me. But apparently, Bud and Robert have taken a break here and are eating themselves. Now, see this? Thanks a lot, guys. Doc Watson has passed on.
I didn't know.
Well, you guys are eating a freaking...
chicken wings and ranch dressing.
You ought to be more responsible about it.
Doc Watson has died.
God.
I was right the first time. Doc Watson, the Grammy Award-winning folk musician whose lightning-fast style of flat-picking influenced guitarists around the world for more than a half century, has passed on Tuesday night at a hospital in Winston-Salem, according to a hospital spokeswoman and his manager. He was 89 years of age. Doc Watson had been blind from the age of one. He recently had the abdominal surgery that I referenced. Arthel Doc Watson's mastery of flat picking helped make the case for the guitar as a lead instrument in the 1950s and 1960s when it was often considered a backup for the mandolin, the fiddle, or the banjo when we're talking about bluegrass music and even in country music and rock and roll. His fast playing could intimidate other musicians, even his own grandson who performed with him. Richard Watson said in a 2000 interview with the Associated Press that his grandfather's playing had a humbling effect on other musicians. The ever-humble Doc Watson found it hard to believe. Said Richard, "Everybody that's picked with you says you intimidate them, and that includes some of the best." Doc Watson was born on March the 3rd, 1923, in what is now Deep Gap, North Carolina, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. See, that's what we're talking about, Robert.
Yeah, I'm talking about black people up there.
Yeah, there's black folks up there, man. Probably a lot of black folks.
Why?
I don't know. You know, maybe runaway slaves and that kind of jazz. Who knows, man? He lost his eyesight by the age of one when he developed an eye infection that worsened by that was worsened by a congenital vascular disorder, according to a website for the Merle Fest, which is an annual gathering. Named for his late son, Merle. He came from a musical family. His father was active in the church choir and played banjo. I wonder how many... You know, the church, man, it's influenced a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't go to church, neither.
I guess a lot of people do go to church because the number of musicians, and I mean great ones, that have been influenced by church music, by being in a church band, by being in a church choir, by singing in a church choir, at least during a particular period of American history, is pretty amazing. I can't read about these greats. I mean, the really great ones, without reading about some, you know, influence that the church had on them. Doc Watson's father gave him a harmonica as a young child, and by the age of five, he was playing the banjo, according to the Merle Fest website. He learned a few guitar chords while attending the North Carolina Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh, and his father helped him buy a Stella guitar for $12. My real interest in music was old 78s and the sound of the music, Doc Watson is quoted as saying. I loved it and began to realize that one of the main sounds on those old records I loved was the guitar. That's pretty heavy, man, about how it influenced it as a lead instrument. And no doubt, like I say, as a lead instrument, because you wonder when the guitar left the era of being, you know, like a
singing cowboy or something like that.
Yeah, like Gene Autry, you know, I'm an old cowhand, whatever the hell. And it left the era of cats like that and gradually became this lead instrument that has it all over, like playing the trumpet or the saxophone. I mean, those used to be sort of the lead improvisational instruments in different bands, you know? But the guitar just, bam, blew past them. And now the guitar is seen every bit as much a not only a lead instrument, but guitar players can be every bit as much the virtuosos as great violin players. I mean, there's guys that play guitar, like and rock and roll guitar. That's amazing. So anyway, it was Merle Haggard that had a huge, huge influence on a lot of those guys, man. There you go.
I don't know, man. I still don't know if it's Plato bluegrass.
What?
A bottle of bluegrass.
I can't understand you. You got a mouthful of garlic bread, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. A bottle of bluegrass.
Get out of here, you clown. I'm trying to do a show, and you guys are there over there gumming your freaking garlic bread.
Yeah, I'm gumming it. Well, look at Phil, look. Ah, jeez. Hey, Phil.
Ah. That's all. That's all for tonight. I can't take it. Just swallow your food, okay?
Yeah.
Swallow your food. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Join us at philhenryshow.com. for a backstage pass and access to the greatest radio show on earth. And don't forget, of course, our podcast, podcast numero 3, is available to you at philhendryshow.com. Make sure you hit the banner there for the Phil Hendry podcast. All right, y'all. It's great to be back. And don't forget to join us again tonight. Listen to the podcast of tonight's show on our website. Get a backstage pass. We'll see you back tonight. God bless. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.